Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel on the second Sunday of Advent, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. So the readings that we have each Sunday don't build on last Sunday's readings. You know, we're used to this sense of a continuum of the readings, but they're all selected for various purposes. So this one today is selected because it brings in John the Baptist, a very important part of Advent, and it's the start of Mark's Gospel. Indeed, the text would say the beginning of the good news about Jesus. That's how Mark starts his Gospel. And this word beginning has three functions. It's the beginning of the book. It's the beginning of the ministry, the start of the ministry. It's also the start of the coming of the kingdom of God. So there's great excitement in those words, the beginning of the good news about Jesus. It's nearly like chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. Anyway, let's look at the text then. Going on, verses 2 and 3. You have these quotations then from Isaiah. Mark seems to be the first to come up with these citations, and it helps us to recognize the function of John. This is from Isaiah. Look, I'm going to send my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. So that's John's job, to prepare the way of the one who is sent, namely Jesus. And so it was that John the Baptist appeared. So John aligns himself with those who are unhappy with temple rituals. He appears in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Jewish people would have had feasts of recognizing their sins and placing them on a goat who was then chased out of the temple area, out of the walled city of Jerusalem. And this was the scapegoat. And in this, it's the Day of Atonement, I think it was. This would have been their experience of God's forgiveness. But John is making it much more personal. He's almost playing the Red Sea with the people who listen to him. You know, the way the Jewish people escaped from their slavery, went through the waters of the Red Sea and come up to continue their journey towards the Promised Land. So these people who listen to his words and decide to enter into the water of the Jordan and come up out of it are a bit like the people escaping from their slavery to sin and coming into a whole new existence, a whole new place in their lives. It's a big symbolic gesture. And they would have been familiar as Jews with washing rituals, cleansing rituals. And this was a huge one in their lives. Baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A better translation of the word repentance is conversion. And we're continually called to conversion. And we hear these words again and again, but it just shows you that our nature is a fallen nature, and therefore we need continually to come back more authentically to live the life that Christ gives us. So conversion is always called for. The Old Testament talks about returning to God or turning to God, and there's so many references to prophets asking the people to be God's people, to really come back with all your heart, so forth. So verse 5, then all Judea and all the people of Jerusalem made their way to him, and as they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, they confessed their sins. Now that popularity of John equals a perception of a threat by those in power. You know, threat. Herod had him put to death for his fearlessness about Herod's marriage. And the I suppose the temple authorities would have seen him as a threat as well. All the people were going to John and entering into the Jordan. So John wore a garment of camel skin. He lived on locusts and wild honey. So this means that John is the Elijah who was expected before the Messiah. That this was one of the things that the prophets would have pointed out, and that one of the parts of the expectation of the Messiah that is coming would be preceded by Elijah. Elijah would come back again. So John, or Mark in writing this, would say, John is the Elijah. In the course of his preaching, he said, someone is following me, someone who is more powerful than I am, and not fit to kneel down under the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So there's a contrast then between the baptism that John leads the people into with water, but the baptism of Jesus, the baptism, Christ refers to it as a baptism of fire, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's a contrast then between the water and the fire of the Holy Spirit. So it's a great call to repentance, to conversion, to come back again, to be more authentically God's people. This second Sunday of Lent, of Advent, keep doing that, Advent. So, some questions then for discussion. John the Baptist is presented as a messenger to prepare the way for Jesus. Who have been messengers to you, preparing the way for the Lord? And to whom have you been such a messenger? The second one, the voice cries in the desert or the wilderness, a reminder to us that when we feel that we are in the desert in our own lives, we shouldn't give up hope. It may be that God's grace will come to us at any moment. Have you had an experience of God's grace coming to you when you were in a desert place? And a final question. John baptized people with water as a gesture to mark their change of heart. Sometimes we perform an action to symbolize our change of heart. We write a letter, throw away our last cigarettes, so forth. Can you remember a symbolic gesture with which you marked a change of heart? So God bless your work, and thank you for coming together to consider God's word.